Kailara left the bridge and went to the cargo bay to talk to the passengers. They were feeling well enough to complain about the delay in returning them to their ships.
I can't do anything about that. You know I have no shuttles, and we have no independent power. At least we have adequate food now.
That's all very well, but what about my ship? Is it still in the system? Are my crew all right?
I'll find out.
Kai dashed back to the bridge. With the exception of Empress Rose, all the ships were still in the Sabine system, and crews reported nothing but minor injuries or illnesses. She reported that to her passengers and explained that no, she could not provide them all a secure comm link to their ships, since ISC now controlled all communications and hadn't put a high priority on their needs. She went through the protocols to request a link to Sabine Station, and to her surprise was put through to the acting station master. This individual wore the gray ISC uniform with the silver lightning flash and introduced himself.
Ah, Captain Vada. I understand that you undocked against orders.
Yes, emergency situation.
Quite. Sabine system imposes a fine of 5,000 credits for improper undock, and you have an outstanding ship balance due of 2,345 credits for docking services.
He looked down at something on his desk, then back up.
A counterclaim for failure to recognize a legitimate emergency and facilitate ship's withdrawal from danger will be entertained by the interim authority.
Kai was wondering where she could scrape up another 7,345 credits.
The interim authority?
That's us, Captain Vada. Should you make such a counterclaim, including, for instance, Sabine Station's failure to complete your refueling and to allow you timely access to repair and replacement parts, it is likely that your debt would be reduced to zero and docking permission could be given in accordance with Sabine law. We prefer to make use of local law whenever possible.
I suppose I should make a counterclaim then.
I would recommend it, yes. Your ship suffered damage, did it not, as a result of this station's negligence and lack of cooperation?
Yes.
ISC has never favored frivolous suits, so unreasonable requests for damages might prejudice your case. But since your ship was preemptively interned for use as a hostage carrier, in large part because you had no functioning deep space drive and an incomplete fuel load on in-system, I suggest a computation of what it would take to restore your functionality.
Kai just managed not to gape. Surely they were aware that the ship was old and had more wrong with it than one missing drive component.
I can't, of course, name a figure. That would be unfair of me in my capacity as interim station master. I must be impartial.
If this was impartial, Kai didn't want to see partial. At least, not unless it was on her side.
But any material damages could be named. Should they not be upheld by a later court, at least you would have some recompense, I'm certain.
Getting docking privileges alone would be worth it. Kai collected her scattered thoughts.
With permission, Station Master, I'll be back with you shortly. I want to prepare an accurate statement.
The flicker of his eyelid was not quite a wink.
Very good, Captain Vada. With respect, I suggest you not wait over long. Soon our tugs and shuttles will be busy here. Oh, and the fee for towing you into a docking slot will be 850, as usual.
Back in one.
Kai looked around at her bridge crew.
Did the rest of you hear what I heard? Was he really telling us to make out an expense account and blame Sabine Station for the past couple of weeks?
Sounds like it to me. And he's right. The station should have facilitated our repairs, or at least sold us the sealed unit. There was no rational reason to think we'd take it to the Secundus Rebels or the Mercs. And they should have given ships permission for emergency on dock, all of them. Much more dangerous for the station if ships were there, if the station was attacked.
I'm tempted to just ask for what our back charges are. That way we can't be excessive.
No! Kai! Captain, that's not the way to think. Let me work on it. We had a lot of damage. There's two of our crew dead. One of them was an idiot, true, but the other wasn't. We had all that work to do in the cargo holds, modifying them for emergency quarters. That used up a lot of our reserve parts stock. And some of that will have to be torn out to make room for cargo. Then there's our cargo, floating around out there.
Unless Furman grabbed it already.
Wherever it is, it's not in our holds. And we've got to retrieve it, unload the other stuff, and reload the holds. That's several days. Docking fees for those days shouldn't be due from us, because it's not our fault. Nor should replacement parts, nor the labor costs to reconfigure the holds. The sealed unit was already damaged when we came in. I wouldn't gig them for that. But the beacon damage and the control systems, that's gonna take a complete purge to get it fixed.
The amount Quincy came up with after a few minutes seemed huge to Kai, but she transmitted it to the Sabine Station Master's office anyway. The answer came back from Sabine Station after a decent interval. Acting Station Master Detton looked serious.
On behalf of Sabine Station, I am prepared to accept this counterclaim of damages caused by this station's civilian management. Since the claims made here are substantially larger than the balance due on the fines and docking use fees on the books, it is my decision that the Glennis Jones be allowed to dock here and that all tug and docking fees will be waived for a period of 20 days. However, the final decision and any monetary damages to be paid other than this offsetting will be determined by a court at some later date. Acceptance of this proposal is not binding in law, as later adjudication may choose to impose additional fines, penalties, or costs on either party. Are you willing to accept these terms and defer funds transfer until adjudication is complete?
Yes.
Thank you, Captain Vada. Now, do you wish tug services immediately?
Yes.
I can assign you... You can expect a tug to contact you in about 6 hours. Estimated time until docking will be 9 hours, 4 minutes. Is this acceptable?
Yes, I will inform the passengers. Thank you.
Our pleasure. When you arrive, there are ISC and MacNC personnel who wish to confer with you at your earliest convenience. And I understand you have remains.
Remains. It took Kai a moment to realize that the station master meant someone's body. Gary's body.
Yes, Gary Tobai, one of my crewmen.
We will have a funeral representative ready to receive the remains.
Thank you.
By the time you've arrived, we will have limited commercial communications service backup. Your passengers will be able to contact their vessels from the station. They have been assigned Priority 1 access.
They will appreciate that. I'll tell them. If you'll excuse me, I need to ready my ship for docking procedures.
Of course, Captain Vada. There is another Vada transport vessel in the system. Have they contacted you?
As if he didn't know.
Yes. I presume we will communicate more fully later.
Captain Furman has requested permission to retrieve your cargo. Is this permissible?
If Kai said yes, he would have her cargo in his possession and be able to preempt her contract. If she said no, he would be furious, and for all she knew, her father would be furious too. She didn't need more enemies. She didn't need to start her career breaking contracts either.
No, not at this time. I haven't determined whether I will be able to meet contracted terms without his help. I would prefer to confer with Vada headquarters before making that decision after we have a repair estimate on my ship.
I see.
Kai hoped she hadn't seen a twitch of amusement, but she could imagine the kinds of things Furman had said about her.
We'll expect the tug contact in 6 hours, then.
She would try to catch a nap before then, and another snack. By the time the tug's call came, Kai had slept a few hours, eaten again, showered, and started a list of necessary repairs and their projected costs. Refueling the in-system drive, purging and reinitializing the ship's control systems, obtaining a new certified ID chip for the beacon, replacing the sealed unit of the FTL drive and the damaged liner section, removing the plumbing fixtures from the cargo holds. She presumed that MacNC would want their toilet and sink units back, but that could wait. Repairing or replacing the communications modules. The credits mounted up, a few hundred here, a few thousand there. She compared the total to the amount that MacNC owed her for transporting their prisoners. A squeak, but she might make it. Once they docked at the orbital station, Kai spoke to the station security about unloading her passengers. In only a short time, they were all out of the ship, onto a dock area secured from the media. Kai had begun to relax when a series of dockside calls came in. A MacNC officer, she had no idea what rank, but he seemed very young, asked permission to come aboard and arranged for the removal of their property. An ISC official also asked permission to come aboard. She named herself Assistant to the Incident Investigator General. A representative of the Sabine Prime Government's Department of Foreign Affairs wanted to talk with her about her knowledge of the involvement of Captain Pazin in the Secundus affair. A representative of Interstellar Transient Transformations wanted information on Gary Tobias' faith and the type of ceremony desired. And an officer from the Katrine Lamont claimed to have urgent communications from Captain Furman and Vada Transport Limited. What Kai wanted most was an uninterrupted sleep shift. but clearly she wasn't going to get it. She tried to think what should come first.
Quincy, what kind of service would Gary have wanted?
We never talked about it. He was a Modulan, I know that much. But that's all.
Well, what would be best for the crew, then?
Modulan's always safe. But you Vada are something else, aren't you?
Spheric Cyclans, yes, but it doesn't matter about me. What about his family? Did he ever talk about them?
Had a granddaughter out in the Necklace Islands. I don't know about the rest.
We'll do Modulan and have the box made up for her, then. Do you know her name?
Angelica.
Kai called Interstellar Transient Transformations and gave them this information.
Our condolences, Captain, to you and your crew. I'm Salon Behandar, and I will be assisting you through this sad time. We'll need to discuss chapel availability once we've collected the, remains.
Chapel availability?
Yes. We have many other services scheduled, you understand.
Kai didn't. But then she'd never attended any religious service on a space station.
It's a matter of finding the open time slot most suitable to you and to his memory.
I see.
You are familiar with the process, I presume?
Kai wasn't. They hadn't had a funeral in the family since Aunt Pellet's, and that was over on North Coast, when Kai had an ear infection and couldn't fly.
I'm sorry, but I haven't dealt with this before.
His smile managed to combine extreme sympathy with extreme satisfaction. Kai found it extremely annoying.
My dear Captain Vata, again, let me express our condolences. Interstellar will be happy to assist you in every detail, as I'm sure you all wish to show the utmost respect for your comrade. You may not have known that orbital stations usually allot only one space for religious purposes, a holographic chapel which is pre-programmed to offer a variety of religious spaces suitable for practically every faith and ceremony. Now, as you've indicated, your loved, lost one was himself a Modulan. Let me show you the Modulan setting.
Up on the screen, a window opened to show the interior of a typical Modulan chapel. Very like that at the Academy, except for the lack of a Space Force seal. The restful curves, even to the seat backs, the soft golden glow of the lighting, the focus of faith in gleaming pewter.
If you want to personalize this in some way...
The display flickered and morphed to an exaggerated style, with banks of pink flowers along the side walls and a beam of light striking down at an angle to rest on the focus. Kai was slightly repelled, as always, by the Modulan color scheme of soft greens, but even more repelled by the deliberate drama of the variant form.
No.
Very well. Now, about the box.
The box, Kai knew, was nothing but a symbol, small enough to fit in the hand. Behandar's tone added the capital and implied extraordinary worth.
Traditional Modulans still prefer the plain wood with the focus on the cover, but we have a very nice selection of boxes, enameled, inlaid...
The plain wooden box. Gary was very traditional.
Kai didn't know how traditional Gary was in the practice of his religion, but she did know how traditional he was about spending money on things that were not necessary to the ship or its cargo. He would come back to haunt her if she indulged in any fancy additions to his service.
Very well. And the chaplain. There's the recorded service, the interactive service with counseling subroutines.
Kai had never imagined anything like this.
I thought there was just a chaplain.
Oh, if you want a live chaplain, that's certainly possible. We have to arrange to bring someone up from Prime. That is a little expensive.
No, that's all right. I'm sure one of the other methods will do very well. But you'll have to excuse me. I have other commitments to meet here. If you'll collect his body, I can get back with you later.
It's a good idea to go on and make arrangements early. There are still lots of casualties coming in.
What is the schedule, then?
With a holographic chaplain, or the recorded or AI version of the service, we can fit you in... let me see... At 13:30 hours the day after tomorrow. That includes a one-hour slot in the... That's the Modulan Basic Plan Chapel, with provision for either the recording or the interactive audio service. If you wanted the half hour of grief counseling in the chapel, the first open slot is 07:30, 3 days from now.
The recorded version. We won't require the grief counseling.
If the crew needed grief counseling, Kai didn't let herself think about whether she did. Vata Transport could provide it somewhere else as part of their health coverage. Not from a smarmy little man who was annoying her more by the second.
Very well. You're entered for 1330, day after tomorrow. That's Senkit in local calendars. Please be sure that you vacate the chapel on time, as there is a service scheduled after yours. The actual recording begins when you press start and takes 34 minutes.
We'll be out on time.
And to what account should this be charged?
Vata Transport Limited.
Kai had no qualms about that. Their insurance would cover it.
Very well. Now, where is the...
In the cooler. One of my crew will show your personnel.
Within the hour.
Kai switched off, feeling slightly ill and not sure why. It seemed wrong to treat the end of Gary's life as a series of practical choices, such as whether or not to have a hologram or a recording as the chaplain. But she'd just done it. In the military, they handled these things better. Tradition took over. If he had been military, his funeral would have fit that final heroism better. She could imagine the draped coffin, the slow march. There would have been no smarmy little man. She rubbed her head hard, trying to stave off tears and think clearly.
What next? Mackenzie or ISC? Mackenzie.
Kai was fairly sure she knew what they wanted. Their contact was a fresh-faced young officer, Lieutenant Sanders, as he introduced himself. He seemed inordinately cheerful and fully familiar with Kai and the situation.
Captain, we can send a crew over to remove our equipment starting at 0900 tomorrow.
That sounds good. I'll need to talk to someone about our contract.
That'll be Major Harris. I'll patch you through in a moment. Colonel Kalin would like to see you at 1400.
It was 1100 local time now. Kai's eyes felt gritty.
I can't leave the ship.
Of course. The Colonel knows that. If 1400 is open...
It was open. That was not how she wanted to spend the afternoon, which felt like midnight, but she might as well get it over with.
1400 is fine.
I'll switch you now to Major Harris.
Major Harris, when he answered, smiled less brightly than the lieutenant, but it was a smile.
I understand you had some problems with a few of the passengers. Good job, only losing three. Under the circumstances, we're amending the contract if you agree to compensate for the extra days without reference to the smaller number of passengers. We took the liberty of consulting Vata Limited while we were out system, and their legal staff approved the amended contract, pending your agreement. Have you had a chance to confer with them yet?
No. I haven't had access to Ansible communication yet.
Ah, that's right. The system's not completely up yet. Well, we can defer this matter until you have a chance to talk to them. Or I can transfer funds into an account for you now, if you're willing to take my word for it.
The last time Kai had taken his word for something, the 10 days and docile passengers had turned into several weeks and a mutiny that cost the life of her crewman.
Let me see the amended contract. What's the compensation rate?
The contract came up on screen, and the printer came to life. Soon she'd have hard copy.
You'll notice when you get to the bottom that there is a Vata Transport approval seal from there, your legal department. There's also a release from liability, protecting Vata from suits referencing experiences aboard your ship, and Mackenzie from suits from Vata against us.
I see.
Kai had scrolled quickly past the familiar paragraphs of the original contract to the amendments and the compensation. She struggled to keep a straight face. That was a lot of money. And the Vata Transport Limited seal had the right date codes for this quarter. She wanted that money. She wanted every credit of it in her accounts right now. Surely, if the company's legal department had approved it, it was all right.
Of course, your company didn't know all that happened while we were out system. And they would probably insist on additional compensation if they knew.
Huh. Kai was deep in the fine print. Per diem per passenger, damages to ship, delay of delivery of cargo, damages to cargo if proven by independent appraiser, interest to be paid per day for delay of payment.
So, I am authorized to offer a 250,000 credit additional compensation, but in return would require a statement that this satisfies all debt between us.
They must really want Vata Transport off their backs. Kai wondered what Vata had said. What her father had said.
With all due respect, You do realize I will have to validate the seal on the original before I can give you a final answer.
Of course, but it would help us to know whether you are inclining that way or not.
With confirmation of my company's approval and the additional compensation, I feel sure we can come to an agreement.
And Kai would have her communications board back, and her beacon, and her FTL unit.
There is one complication. Captain Furman of the Vada Transport Katrine Lamont insists that he has the right to negotiate in your name, make binding decisions on your behalf, and that any funds should be deposited to the account he names. We were not told of his involvement when we were out system. Is he, in fact, acting as your agent?
He is not. I believe he was sent here to check on my welfare, but he is neither my boss nor my agent.
Good. Since you personally negotiated and signed the original contract, the laws we operate under require us to complete it with you, and involving him would mean a whole new round of legal finagling, which I, for one, would rather avoid.
I also, Major Harris.
Well then, Colonel Kalin can bring the amended contract to you when he visits, and if you sign it, we can transfer the funds immediately into... what account did you want to use?
Not Vada Transport's General Sabine account. Furman would seize on that, and he was the senior Vada captain in the system.
I'll have that for you before then. I'm not sure of the status of all accounts.
The accounts she did not yet have, but hoped to acquire.
Very well. Just let us know.
Kai cut the connection and leaned back. She was still tired, and that was only two down, with one coming at 1400, and it was now 1120. Food would help, and a shower. But first, she needed to contact one of the banks and set up an account to receive the transfer. Luckily, Sabine Station had a branch of the venerable Crown and Spears Commercial Bank, and it was only too willing to set up an account for Captain Vada of Vada Transport Limited, so that she could receive a funds transfer later in the day.
Could you come in and validate identity, Captain, or should we send a technician to the ship?
Send someone, please. I need to stay aboard right now. I'm expecting visitors, both civil and military.
Very well. We can have someone there with an ID reader in about half an hour. Say 1200?
Perfect.
Kai pushed back from the board then.
I'm going to shower and eat something. Call me if there's an emergency, but otherwise...
We'll take care of it. Don't worry.
After a shower and change of clothes, Kai wolfed down a quick lunch. Then the bank ID tech announced himself at the dockside. Validating her ID took 15 minutes. The retinal scan, the gene scan, the fingerprints, all compared to the data she had left on file with the station in her earlier visit. When the tech reported in, the bank replied with her new account number. Kai sent that on to Major Harris. She looked at her list.
Can I squeeze in someone else before Colonel Kalin arrives? ISC, I guess.
The pleasant-looking older woman who came onto the bridge did not look like Kai's notion of an investigator. She looked more like someone's mother. Not her own mother, but someone's. She wore a blue-gray suit, not a uniform. Her silvery hair was piled high on her head.
I'm Sarah Illis. You must be Captain Vada. I've reviewed the information you were able to send. Amazing how much you were able to do with your communications out. A clever idea using your beacon like that.
Kai felt buffeted by the woman's approval. That made her feel wary.
Thank you.
Obviously, we're interested in anything more you can tell us about the attack on the Ansibles. You were here when it happened, I understand.
Yes, but all I know is what was on the news feeds.
Of course, but we're asking everyone, had you heard anything which, in retrospect, might indicate such an attack was coming?
No. That trouble was coming, yes. In fact, the Slaughter Key Embassy asked me to evacuate some crewmen who'd been stranded here. But other than war, nothing specific.
Right. And once the officers of the other ships came aboard, when did you first become aware of the involvement of this Captain Payson?
Not fast enough.
A wave of guilt almost blacked out Kai's vision. Gullible, susceptible, an easy mark for an experienced manipulator like Payson. Not so easy, maybe. He was dead and she wasn't. She forced her attention back to the conversation.
The captain of the passenger liner was being so difficult that Payson seemed reasonable by comparison. I actually trusted him until the mutiny. In fact, Payson himself never told me he was involved in the war or in the attack on the Ansibles. That was one of his communications personnel. I gave you his name.
Yes, and he's in protected custody. He's quite concerned that Payson's other associates might come after him. Unfortunately, he does not strike us as particularly trustworthy either, and we wanted to be sure that what he's telling us is the same thing he was telling you.
Ah. Well, I have that logged. I'll be glad to make a copy for you.
Exactly what we'd hoped. Now, about the Mackenzie involvement. In your own mind, do you have any feeling, however vague, that they were involved?
Not anymore. If you've talked to them, you undoubtedly know that I was injured when they came aboard my ship, and not their fault. One of the people I picked up at Sabine Prime was stupid and got himself shot. I spent some time aboard their command ship being patched up. Everyone, top to bottom, seemed shocked by the attack on the Ansibles, and they denied being part of it. Said it would be stupid for them.
For an instant, Illis's blue eyes chilled to glacial temperature.
It's stupid for anyone. That's why we need to find out who doesn't realize that. Was it someone so ignorant or stupid that they thought it would be a good idea to tweak our tale? Or was the target actually someone else? Is this an attempt to frame someone?
I don't know. But I'd bet on stupid. There's a lot of it going around.
So there is. But we are bound to look at more than the simple answer, Captain Vata. Oh, and while I'm here, I was asked to deliver a message to you by hand from your family. You will have realized that they were quite concerned when they learned that you were in this system when the Ansibles went out.
She passed a data cube across to Kai.
I was hoping they wouldn't know.
We provided a list of ships known to be in this system to appropriate authorities on the planets concerned. I suppose they notified your family. At any rate, your family contacted us, and it was agreed that I could deliver this message since we didn't know how long it would be before Ansible service could be restored. There's also a line of credit arranged for you via ISC in your family's name. It's direct for you, so if you need anything, just contact us.
They had not known whether she was alive or not when they compiled this message, but they had thought to provide for her.
Thank you.
That other Vata ship that's in the system, Captain Furman, I believe his name is, he told us he'll be taking you away as soon as possible.
Captain Furman and I will have another discussion or two before I decide what to do.
I see. Well, in that case, we would like to talk to you again. My boss, the incident inspector in particular, and thank you for your contribution to the solution of this situation.
I haven't really done anything.
On the contrary. We really had no idea what was going on until your transmissions started coming in. You gave us a valuable lead, Captain, and we're grateful. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must get back to my boss. He's waiting for my report.
Illis took the copy of the recording Kai gave her and left. Kai glanced at the chronometer. 1340. Definitely not time enough to see anyone else before Colonel Kalin showed up. With, she hoped, the contract and the money. Time enough, though, to look at the message. She put it in the cube reader. There on the screen was her father, with the expression she had seen only a few times.
Kai Laura. Kai, I don't know at this time if you will ever receive this, and I'm finding it hard to record, knowing that you might not. But assuming that ISC can find you in time, I wanted you to know that your family is behind you. We understand why you took a contract from Belinta. We're not angry that you went to Sabine. Gary and Quincy may have told you by now that most Vada captains do go a bit wild with their first commands. We trust you. We love you. Please come back soon, though, because I really would like to see you in one piece. I understand that something happened to your implant. As soon as possible, I'll be shipping a replacement to you by secure carrier, probably a Vada ship, hand-carried. It will have all the current codes preloaded. It might be better to let that ship take over your Belinta contract, but that's up to you. And Kai, I'm really sorry to have sent you off ill-prepared and into such danger.
He hadn't sent her into danger. He'd sent her on what should have been, and probably was, a perfectly safe route, a boring milk run. She herself had made it dangerous by changing plans, by stepping outside his definitions. It wasn't his fault, any more than her trouble at the academy had been his fault. She hadn't blamed him for that either. Kai knew he had meant this message to be warm, loving, consoling, encouraging, but she felt like a cat with its fur rubbed backward. He was still treating her like a feckless girl who needed protection and guidance and consolation. He was patting her head, putting an arm around her shoulders, as if she had fallen and scraped a knee instead of having faced real danger, death in several forms, and survived by her own abilities. What had happened to her, to her ship, to her crew, could not be consoled by a father's love and care. Even though a small part of her wanted to run back to his protection, back to Slaughter Key, to fall weeping in his arms and rest in his understanding, she was beyond that. There would be no easy answers, no easy comfort. This must be the message Captain Furman had had. Go rescue my poor, helpless daughter. He might have his own reasons for thinking she was a spoiled darling. She had been pretty rotten at 13, she admitted to herself, and probably deserved what he thought of her. But she had grown up. Kylara looked up to find Quincy watching her.
It's from Dad. There was a lot he didn't know when he recorded this. He's being comforting and protective. He wants me to let Furman take my cargo to Belinta and bring me home. He's apologized for letting me get into such a dangerous situation.
Wasn't his fault. Do you want to go home?
No. I mean, I accept that he meant well. But the Belinta contract is my contract, not Furman's. Not even Vada's when it comes to that. Mine! And we have cargo there that's due at Leonora and Lastway. All we have to do is repair the ship.
All? It's more than just changing a controller board. But what next?
After that run? Depends on what we make from it. If we could bring this ship up to code...
Hull's sound. Nothing wrong with the in-system drive that a load of fuel wouldn't fix.
You think I should do this, then?
I think you'll do what you think you should, whatever I say. Which is as it should be. All I'm doing is giving engineering data.
Huh.
Though, if you asked my advice...
About what?
I would say nothing. I would say it's your career and your decision. You make up your own mind.
Kai looked at Quincy, trying to read her face.
Seriously? You're young, yes, but this trip would mature anyone who survived it. I can guess what you might choose to do, but it's only a guess. You'll have to figure out what works for you. If it's any help, I think you've done well.
Gary
wanted you to save the ship, and you did. You didn't waste his courage, Captain. I haven't criticized you for it, and I never will.
But you knew him. You were his friend for years.
For years, yes, we were friends. I miss him. I've cried, and I'll cry again. I don't blame you. I said that before.
Yes, you did. Well... We'll talk later, Quincy. I better get ready for Colonel Kalin.
Colonel Kalin was prompt, as she'd expected. In person, he looked as tough and competent as he had over the comm screen. His extended hand, when she shook it, was hard, calloused.
Well, Captain Vada, I'm glad to meet you at last.
Welcome aboard, Colonel.
Is there a secure area?
Not really. We can talk in the recreation area with the doors shut, or my cabin, though it's quite small, or the bridge.
I see. The recreation area, then. I presume it's monitored.
Of course. But merchants no more than the military want their affairs talked about. We have some screening capability.
You will not mind if I add mine?
Not at all.
Kai led the way to the rec area and pressed a button on the intercom.
Bridge, this is the captain. I'll be in conference in the rec room with screens on. Use a visual flash if a situation develops.
She pulled out a chair at one of the tables.
Have a seat, Colonel.
Thanks. Pardon me for being blunt, but we have a lot to talk about, and we're both busy professionals.
Kai nodded.
I understand you've spoken to ISC about the Ansible attack. They said you've told them we said we weren't involved. And I've seen what you sent by beacon flash as well. But is there anything, any detail you haven't included? We've had to post a hefty bond with ISC until they clear us for that action, and the sooner we settle that, the better.
Nothing but the recording of Payson's crewman talking to me.
And you jettisoned his body?
Yes. No cold storage.
I wondered if that was why. Did you beacon it?
No. The only spare beacon we had aboard was put on our cargo.
Ah. We're gonna have to try to find it, because from what you and his contacts say, some of his contact information was on his person. Can you give us an approximate location?
Only with difficulty. We have the elapsed time, of course, but Payson tried to do a complete wipe of our system, so most of the data are suspect. We haven't had time to do a purge and reset, though, so it might be retrievable.
Just not believable. Oh, well. The next thing is this contract between us. I hope you believe me when I say that we did not foresee any of the difficulties.
I didn't think so.
No. We said 10 days and expected to be back for the passengers in 7, actually. Usually, that's plenty of leeway. But when our techs couldn't even get the backup Ansible working, we knew we had to jump out system to get to ISC before they got to us. Again, we thought we would be right back in the system, but ISC wouldn't pass us out of Tangier and insisted that another commander be appointed. That's when I came aboard this operation.
You were trying to work on the Ansible platforms? I thought only ISC could.
We have techs who can restart backup systems, and yes, ISC knows about it. At any rate, we did not expect to be delayed coming back into Sabine's system, and we were quite concerned, and expressed our concerns to ISC, that you would be running short of supplies. May I ask when you began rationing?
As soon as we'd cleared off the counters of the food we had no storage for. I'd been told one time that it was always wise to have a few days reserve, so I calculated for 12 days, not 10. That wasn't bad. Then, when you left the system, I cut back again, trying for the maximum survival with what we had. I had to keep crew rations up so they could do their work.
That must have been tough, but I'm also impressed. You'll pardon me for saying what you know, that you're quite young to be captain, and I would not have expected a civilian captain with so little experience to be that decisive. Your company must provide excellent training.
Actually, I learned that at the Slaughter Key Space Academy. Before I was kicked out.
Yes. Major Harris said something about that. Typical cadet trouble, he said. You would be surprised how many good youngins have something like that in their pasts. Now, I'd like to hear some details about this mutiny. We had no idea that Captain Payson was going to cause trouble.
Kai wanted some details of the money she'd be getting, but this wasn't the time to bring that up. Instead, she began a concise summary of the mutiny, starting with her realization that the passengers' location in the cargo compartments gave them potential access to the control systems. When she came to the confrontation, the scene was as vivid in her mind as it had been since. She struggled to keep her voice level and her hands still.
So Gary said, "Don't let them." And I shot Payson, and his mate cut Gary's throat.
Why did you shoot Payson first?
I didn't have a good shot at the mate, the way he was holding Gary. And Payson was the leader. I thought maybe if I got him. It was so fast.
You did the right thing. Then what?
The mate's arm sagged as Gary died, giving me a target. I shot him, but not fatally. He charged. I fired again, and that time got him in the throat. I thought that would end it. The others behind them were too stunned by the blood, I think. But Christofsen came at me. My junior engineer and I fired together, and he went down. Then I told them to sit down, and they obeyed me, and...
And then had come the reaction, the surge of nausea, the grief, the need to keep going anyway, keep the control she had regained, save her ship. Again, she fought back the lump that had appeared in her throat. Kaelin waited a moment before saying anything.
If you don't mind my asking, what was your class standing before you left?
Kai looked up, surprised.
The Academy didn't release numerical standings prior to graduation, but I was in the Honor Corps.
I don't find that surprising. You know, you reacted much more like a military officer than a civilian ship's captain. If you were a junior officer in my command, I'd be putting you in for a citation.
Kai could not help the internal warmth that she hoped didn't show in her face.
Thank you, Colonel.
Now, we have some financial business to conduct. I have the amended contract with me. I understand Major Harris has gone over the provisions with you?
Yes, he has.
I understand that your company's legal staff has vetted part of it. the per diem for extra time and a bonus for inconvenience, delay, damage. But since at the time no one knew about the mutiny, we did not include any settlement for the death of the crew member and so on. If you feel you need to wait until Vada's legal staff has approved this additional settlement, ISC tells us the communications ansible should be up for limited service in a day or so. Or we can deposit the amount agreed on by your company's lawyers now and defer the rest until that part of the contract is approved. It's your call, Captain.
If Kai waited for approval, what would the company lawyers say? More important, what would her father say? What if he ordered her, in his position as CFO of Vada Transport, to turn over her cargo to Furman? She was absolutely not going to do that.
You're right that it's complicated. My contract with Belinta to deliver the cargo that was aboard when your people boarded us was a personal contract, not a Vada Transport contract. Within my discretion, but not committing the company to it. The company would honor it, had I been unable to fulfill it, but that's not the case. However, this ship is presently owned by Vada Transport, and her crew, barring those I picked up here on Sabine Prime, are employees of Vada Transport. So that portion of the settlement which pertains to the death of a crewman must reference Vada Transport Limited. I can, as a Vada captain, make a valid contract in the name of the firm, including a death settlement, but that is in a different category from contracts for carriage. I feel that the contract should cite a specific amount as death settlement for Gary Tobai. That is the part of the contract which must be with Vada Transport Limited rather than with me.
It doesn't now, but it could. I presume you would then want a separate transfer for that amount.
Yes. It would make clear to the company that I consider the rest of the contract a personal one.
Let's talk to Major Harris.
The colonel's eyes glazed slightly. His implant, of course. Kai wondered how much he depended on it in combat situations. His gaze returned to her.
He says that makes sense. He suggests 100,000 credits as the amount and says a handwritten emendation initialed by both of us will be adequate.
That was about right, Kai knew. On Slaughter Key, the standard scale of compensation for unintended death was graduated by age and expertise, but 100,000 covered most cases.
That will do.
Kai mentally subtracted 100,000 from the total payment. It still left enough for the repairs she needed. She took the hard copy of the contract, flipped through the pages, and wrote in the margin an addendum specifying 100,000 credits compensation for the death of crewman Gary Tobai, signed it, and slid it across to Kalen for his initials.
Send that to Captain Furman. He is the senior Vada captain here, and he will be best suited to receive funds due the company. I've already sent Major Harris the account information for my part.
Kalen cocked his head at her.
Captain, I begin to believe you are devious as well as competent. It almost sounds as if you're about to leave Vada Transport.
No.
Kai hadn't had time to think about it, and yet Vada offered her security and ease, as long as she stayed in the narrow lanes they advised. Kalen leaned back.
You know, Captain, with your background and considering your performance, you might be better suited for something other than glorified truck driver.
I seem to be suited for getting into trouble.
Exactly. You get into trouble, but then you get out of it. You survive, and you even prosper. You're not cut out for boring monotony. Just being thrown out of one military academy doesn't preclude going into the military, you know. We might even hire you.
Kai's gaze came back to him. Her heart pounded. She could feel the heat in her face.
Hire me? Why would you hire me?
Let's see. One of my senior NCOs said you handled the boarding well. She wasn't surprised to find out you had a military background. You didn't panic when you woke up in a military sick bay, and yes, though you had meds in your system, I've seen people panic with those same meds on board. You accepted the challenge of carrying an overload of passengers, and you coped with every emergency they supplied, including a mutiny. You can make quick decisions, and more important, the right quick decisions. You aren't squeamish, and you can kill at need.
And enjoy it, came the response she did not want to reveal. For one moment, she imagined herself in a Mackenzie uniform, commanding a real unit, working up to command a real ship, a warship.
I have a cargo to deliver. I promised them.
Then you have to do what you have promised. But think about it, Captain Vada. If you ever change your mind and want to apply, get in touch with me.
Kalen's gaze unfocused again, then refocused on her.
There. I've instructed Major Harris to make the transfers. That should be complete in a few minutes. I know you'll be busy working on repairs, but you'll be welcome aboard my ship if you care to visit while we're here. Just call over and we'll set up a time. The officers usually meet for a half hour about 1800 before dinner.
Kai wanted to, and she was afraid that her desire showed in her expression.
Thank you. That will depend on how repairs go.
Of course. It's been a pleasure, Captain Vada.
His handshake was military firm. His expression, the one she would like to have seen on her father's face, instead of that worried concern. When Colonel Kalen left, she still had to face meetings with Sabine Prime officials and Captain Furman's representative. She didn't look forward to either. Sabine Prime had sent a woman with the title of Second Assistant Secretary to the Department of Foreign Affairs. Unlike the ISC representative, Jillian Favor was a vivacious young woman who waved her hands a lot when she talked.
We have several issues, Captain Vada. I suppose you know that we are charged with administering the Universal Commercial Code, so we have to report on your handling of the passengers assigned you by Mackenzie and the incidents which resulted in the deaths of Captain Pazin, his mate, Captain Christophson, and your two crewmen. We also need to know what, if anything, you knew about the plot to blow up the Ansibles before you left this station.
I knew nothing about it. My first knowledge of the attack came when I tried to make an Ansible call, and the ready light didn't come on, and then the standby light went out.
Oh, my. We certainly hadn't known you were making a call at the time. Do you have records of that?
No. My communications equipment, including the stored records, was damaged in the mutiny that occurred.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, let's see. Now, you have some kind of records of the trip, don't you? The court will want to establish whether or not your agreement with the mercenaries qualified as cooperation under constraint or not, and whether the treatment you accorded the passengers was in line with the UCC.
Yes, I have those records. Do you need them in hard copy, or do you have a file dump where I can send them?
A file dump will be fine, Captain Vada. Thank you. And let me just say, I am so impressed. I really admire you.
Excuse me?
I mean, I've always wanted to go out in space and have adventures, but I didn't know how. My family's always gone into government service, and I just really admire someone who goes out and does things.
Kai opened her mouth to say it was nothing much, and adventures weren't as much fun as they were made out to be.
I mean, I've been to the adventure resorts and things, you know, with the mountains and the snow and all that, but space? It's really different. When I think about you, alone, out there, in the dark and the cold and running out of food, it just gives me the shivers. I mean, I know I could never do that.
I suppose not.
Kai hadn't intended the sharp tone, but Favor looked at her.
I suppose you think I'm really silly.
No, but I didn't get into this for the adventure.
Really? Why did you go then?
My family trucks cargo in spaceships. Like yours goes into government service.
You mean they just expected you to? It wasn't that you wanted to get away or get out into space or see other planets?
Kai did not want to talk to this person about her past, about her dreams.
Pretty much. And for the most part, it's not all that exciting. Seeing other planets, sure, but the rest of the time, it's just business.
Oh. I suppose, if you're just used to it.
Right. If you don't need anything else, I have other appointments and it's getting late.
Of course. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was just interested. It sounded so exciting.
When Favor had twittered her way out, Kai shook her head.
I'm probably not being fair.
Quincy had come onto the bridge and now shook her head.
To think she's a fluttery featherhead? Possibly not, but she's a good imitation.
And I still have to cope with Captain Furman.
Didn't you apprentice on his ship?
Yes. It was not a happy experience.
Apprenticeships rarely are. What's wrong? Is he still treating you like a child?
Yes. You saw part of it. He's going to want to drag me back home like a trophy failure.
You need something to eat. Garland, go get her something to eat.
Garland nodded and left the bridge. Kai wanted to say, "You're not my mother," but her stomach growled, and she realized she was feeling hollow. She sank back into her seat.
All right, I am hungry.
When they were alone, Quincy leaned forward.
Kai, is there more to that message your father sent?
Kai felt her muscles tense and tried to relax.
Yes. He said he was sending a new implant out with a Vada ship. I suppose that's Furman.
I don't want to go back. I don't want to let Furman take our cargo to Belinta. It's my job, my contract, and I'm quite capable of doing it.
I agree.
And I don't need the implant.
I wouldn't want to do without mine. Makes it a lot easier.
The implant is Vada, in a way. The Vada connection, the codes, the proprietary databases, the protocols, all preloaded for me. Yes, it's easier to have it all available internally. I really like parts of it, but when I rely on it, I'm not really thinking for myself. I can miss solutions I might otherwise come up with. We didn't have them at the Academy. We had to learn, remember, analyze, plan, all with our own brains.
You were doing fine before you were shot.
Maybe. Maybe not. It was always whispering to me, shaping what I knew. And with so much in there, I wasn't as likely to look outside for more information, was I? And after, without it, did I do all that much worse?
No. I have to admit you seem just as competent without it. But everyone has one.
Most people, certainly spacers, yes. If I could have an empty one and choose what to put in it...
You could, but it seems a waste to me. You need the Vada protocols. By the way, are those mercenaries trying to recruit you?
Why?
Well, Bia went dockside to try to link up with some equipment suppliers, and he told me he ran into one of them who said something about how you'd end up in their pockets.
Not likely. I have a contract to fulfill.
What are you going to do if Furman orders you to turn over the ship and give him your cargo?
I don't know.
Now, that's not true. I think you know perfectly well. My real question is, are you going to stop with defying Furman, or are you going to break with Vada as well? Is that the real reason you don't want a Vada-programmed implant?
Break with Vada? I hadn't even thought of that.
But even as she said it, Kai knew she had, at some level.
Thing is, if you decide to break with Vada, you need to let the crew know. Those who want to stay with Vada would probably rather leave now and go with Furman.
Without the Vada component of her crew, she had only three people, the ones she'd picked up here. And even they might not want to stay with her. She thought about them. Two experienced environmental techs, one with some bridge experience. One drives maintenance technician. Hard to run a ship with that. Impossible to run a ship with that, with no pilot, no cargo master.
Well, I hadn't planned to leave Vada.
Can you commit to that beyond Belinta? You don't want to leave anyone stranded.
Of course she didn't want to leave anyone stranded. Her head ached. It was all so blasted complicated. Contracts for this, contracts for that, personnel problems. Garland returned, bringing a tray.
Here you go, Captain.
Kai's stomach rumbled at the smell of a hearty soup. She ate quickly, aware of Quincy's worried gaze still resting on her like a heavy weight. When she finished, the problem was still there, and her stomach knotted around the soup.
I'm not going to abandon my crew anywhere. But I hear what you're saying, that some of the Vada people may want to go back with Furman.
As long as you understand.
What about you? Do you want to go back?
Losing an engineering chief would be bad, but not impossible, as long as she didn't take all her supports with her.
I haven't decided. I'll stay with you through repairs, anyway. But I could retire now. It's been a difficult trip.
Yes, it has. And you've certainly earned retirement. I'd like it if you stayed, though.
We'll see. It all depends.
Badly as Kai wanted to ask on what... She knew better.
Thanks. I'll go talk to Furman's representative now.
Furman's representative was his second in command, a cheerful, stocky man in Vada blue with a small lock case clipped to his wrist and a large briefcase in his hand.
Captain Vada, I'm Bontal Karash. I have a special package for you from your father. I'm afraid you'll have to validate and sign this.
He pulled a Plasfilm receipt from his pocket.
And I'll have to inspect the seals.
That was the first, simplest level of validation for both of them.
Here, then.
He handed it over. She turned it over and around in a specific pattern, observing that each seal was unbroken. Then she thumbprinted the receipt, signed it, and he put it back in his pocket.
And I also have some forwarded mail. Your father says it's non-urgent, but he wanted you to have it.
He opened his briefcase and handed her a small pile, including one with all too familiar handwriting. Her heart thudded painfully.
How? What did he say? Did he understand?
Captain Furman would like to get everything straightened out so we can get back to our route. I understand you have cargo for Belinta?
Yes. There's no reason to delay you. Captain Furman can take the cat back to his route right away.
That's not what Captain Furman says. He says he's supposed to make sure you're all right, and in his mind, that means making sure you get back to Slaughter Key safely.
I'm fine. You can see that.
But the ship and didn't someone die?
The ship needs repair. We're working on that. Gary Tobai, my cargo master, was killed during the mutiny. His funeral's day after tomorrow, station time.
Tobai? I worked with him 4 years ago on another ship. What happened?
Furman didn't tell you?
No.
The passengers the mercenaries stashed aboard the ship included some troublemakers. Some of them tried to take over the ship. They did manage to degrade the system controls, turn on the in-system drive, and destroy our communications transmitters. They took Gary hostage, threatened to kill him if I didn't turn over command of the ship.
If they'd done that much, why did they need you?
I don't know. I do know that I tried to stop them and killed the two ringleaders, but Gary died. I couldn't stop them in time.
But if they had Gary hostage, how could you...
I had other crew to think of, and the passengers who weren't involved. That had to come first. He knew it. He told me not to give in.
Korash stared at her, eyes wide.
You saw him?
Yes.
Kai closed her eyes briefly, where one of the rotating scenes of disaster from this trip passed before her eyes. Skeldon's face, as she just caught sight of him in her cabin before everything went black. Gary Tobai looking her in the eye, and then not.
How could you watch?
You're welcome to come to his memorial service. Day after tomorrow, the station chapel, a Modulan service.
Oh, I couldn't. I'll be back on our ship by then, but how do you feel about it?
Horrible. I keep thinking I should have done more to prevent it. More to keep them from getting systems access, from grabbing Gary. But there were a lot of them, and few of us. If I'd known who was behind it, I'd have spaced them to start and saved us all a lot of trouble.
Spaced? You wouldn't really space anyone.
Kai looked at him, a nice, decent older man who had never faced what she faced.
Actually, I would, if necessary, to save my ship. Mostly, it's not necessary.
His face was two shades paler. She could see the sheen of sweat on him.
Well, that's hard. That's really hard. I suppose that's the sort of thing you learn in the academy.
Yes.
It saved time trying to explain what couldn't be explained.
Things are different in the civilian world, you know.
I know that. But my first responsibility is still to my ship and crew, even under civilian legal codes.
He had an odd expression, somewhere between curiosity and revulsion.
How did you... did you carry a weapon?
You want to know how I killed them, is that what you're asking?
I guess so.
I shot them with a pistol bow that one of my crew had, a target bow.
You did that before?
I practiced once I realized that we might have trouble with our passengers. My crew member taught me how to use it. I suppose that shocks you.
Oh, well, I couldn't shoot anyone. I just couldn't.
Then I suppose it's a good thing you've never needed to. You can tell Captain Furman, or I can contact him myself. I am going to get this ship repaired well enough to take my cargo to Belinta, myself, and he can consider himself free to return to his regular route. I will check and see if any of my crew wish to return with him, and I will prepare a message for my family. I'm assuming you came by shuttle?
Yes.
Well then, when does it leave, or was it a charter?
A charter.
You can spend a couple of hours here?
Yes, but I will have to let them know when I want to leave.
I'll speak to the crew shortly. I'm sure they'll want to stay for Gary's memorial service at least. So Furman can leave after that if any of them want to go with him, or earlier if they don't. I can have that answer for you in, say, 3 hours. I'm sure you'd enjoy that time more on the station than on a small ship like this.
As you wish.
You have an implant, yes?
Yes.
Fine. Give me your number. I'll contact you.
At last, he left, and gave her a vague sort of salute on his way out. Kai tabbed the intercom.
All crew, come to the rec area, please. I have an announcement.
A few minutes later, they were all there except for Bia, still out on the station.
Captain Furman of the Katrine Lamont wants me to agree to sell this ship for scrap here, take all of you and the cargo aboard his ship, and go back to Slaughter Key via Belinta. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to repair the ship with the money Mackenzie paid me, take my own cargo to Belinta, and pick up our cargo there, and go on our original route to Leonora and Lastway. However, while I don't have direct orders from Vada headquarters to do what Captain Furman says, I suspect that his report of my decision will generate some heat. Most of you are long-term Vada employees. I will understand if you don't want to be involved in a dispute between me and my family's business. I will also understand if you don't trust me as a captain after the death of a crew member you all knew for a long time. So, I'm giving you the opportunity to transfer to the CAT if you want to. I'll give you all an exemplary report for your records.
If we leave, what will you do for a crew? We can't just leave you out here alone.
There are always transients.
Have you looked?
Well, no, not yet. But it's up to you, really. I don't want you staying out of some guilt thing. Sorry. I'm going to go get something to drink, give you all a little while to discuss it.
Well, what about us? We're not Vada employees, really.
Furman says he'll take you at least a lot closer to Slaughter Key, a mainline station. Or you can hire on with me if you're willing to learn cargo work as well as your primary specialty. Talk to Quincy. She can tell you about Vada and about me.
Kai pushed back her chair and stood. She was seriously tired, the accumulated strain of the past days settling on her shoulders like a sack of wet sand. She decided another shower would help. After the days of rationed showers, she enjoyed the opportunity for a long one and stood under the warm spray for several minutes. She felt better, but also even more sleepy. She meant to sit on her bunk only a moment. But suddenly her intercom was sounding, and she opened her eyes. She had slept for an hour. Not a good sign if the crew had needed an hour to decide what to do. She braced herself to hear that they were all leaving.
Coming!
Even that brief nap had helped. Her eyes no longer burned. She finished dressing and returned to the rec area. To her surprise, only Quincy was there. The old woman looked up at her.
Went to sleep, did you?
Sorry.
You needed it. You were dead on your feet. We would have let you sleep longer, but we heard from Furman's messenger.
And?
I have to tell you, I'm not happy about going against your father's wishes. I don't want to lose my retirement because he blames me for your decisions.
So her father had told Furman to bring her home?
I'm the captain. They're my decisions. My father knows me. He should know that I'm stubborn enough to ignore any advice you give me.
Yes, I'm taking that into consideration. But are you willing to tell him that? And save my reputation as a reliable babysitter?
Of course.
It's been a difficult voyage, Captain. For a moment here, I'd like to talk to you in my role as designated grandma, not as crew.
All right.
When your father asked us to crew for you, he told us you were studious, hardworking, smart, and honest. All that sounded good. Then he told us you had a habit of picking up strays and were headstrong as a mule. One of the things he wanted us to do was protect you from the kind of person who'd gotten you in trouble at the academy. He didn't say much about that, so I don't know if it was a love affair or something else. Watch out for the lame puppies, he said. She'll do something stupid just to help someone.
Kai felt her ears going hot.
And we failed. Gary and I... We were supposed to protect you, and we almost let you get killed by that young idiot. We hadn't kept you from bringing him aboard, and we hadn't kept an eye on him. And when you were carried past, the medics all looking so grim, I felt as if my own granddaughter were dying, and I'd killed her. Gary felt just as bad.
It wasn't your fault, either of you.
Kai reached for Quincy's hand. but Quincy pulled it out of reach.
Let me finish, please. So then you didn't die, and you took that contract with the mercenaries. Doubt you had much choice. And you came back just as cool as snow and perfectly professional. I don't know when I've been as proud. You were trying to prevent the trouble you foresaw, and I hadn't spotted it, except with that fancy pants from the Rose. And I realized it was some of my engineering modifications for the passengers which gave Pazin access to the systems, made his takeover possible. When they grabbed Gary, I was terrified. I could not imagine how we'd get out of it alive, any of us. I know he didn't want to be the reason you didn't act, if you could find any way to act. I'd have felt the same if they'd grabbed me. I wish they had. I'm older. But anyway, you knew what to do and did it, and saved us. I was useless. Not because I'm old, but because I've spent my life on safe ships, traveling safe routes. I haven't been in a fight since I was a child. So if you were my granddaughter, in truth, I'd be so proud of you, and a little scared of you, and yes, I would trust you, because you've been right so far. What I don't know is, can you trust me? Would you rather I went back and let Bia take over as engineering first? He's qualified as far as the engineering goes. And I don't think you need a babysitter anymore.
Quincy, please, don't blame yourself. It was not your fault. You've been a wonderful resource, and of course I trust you. But if you want to go back, I'll understand.
Quincy blinked back her tears and managed a shaky grin.
I thought I did. I really thought I did. I've never served with anyone who's killed someone, at least that I knew about. It was awful. Your face when you came back to the bridge. But you know, Kai, and I'm calling you Kai in the person of that grandmother, I've decided I'd rather stick with you and find out what you're going to do next. For one thing, I'd miss my shipmates, all of whom want to stay with you except Lee, who says she'd rather go somewhere with Furman, if he'll take her.
Kai's throat closed. She swallowed the lump of emotion and nodded.
Thank you. Thank you, Grandma Quincy.
And another thing. You've been through a lot. We all have. But you more because of the injury. You haven't been able to take it easy, as I'm sure you were advised to do by the medical people, right?
Yes.
So I'm telling you, as the resident grandma, to start taking it easier. Yes, we have repairs to make, a cargo to load, a contract to fulfill. But I want to see you taking regular sleep shifts of adequate length, eating the proper foods, exercising, and letting your now-enlarged crew do its work. Clear?
Yes, Grandma.
And expect emotional fallout. You've been holding yourself together, which we all needed. What you need now is a chance to let go. Don't fight it too hard or too long.
Yes, ma'am.
End of Grandma's lecture. Good heavens, I can't believe I've been so dramatic. Now, Captain, Bia has a list of suppliers and prices. I can review them for you and let you rest. Or you can review them, whichever. Keeping in mind the advice I just gave you.
Quincy, I'd like you to review suppliers, prices, and our needs, and make it all come in under budget. Somehow. We'll also need to resupply the galley. All right, all right. Grandma already knows what to do with an egg. I'm going to go send that message to Captain Furman's messenger, then take your advice and get more sleep. In fact, I may sleep until first shift tomorrow.
Yes, Captain.